Ivy's the only one that's allowed to make that noise this morning. She must be a wore-out little girl. Yeah. I think that's going around. But you pray for me that I will bring what God wants me to bring, not be too long for those of you that aren't feeling well, and not too short for those of you that need to hear. So let us ask God for his help this morning. Amen. Or as soon as I can get harnessed up here, we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come unto you this morning, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we're thankful that we have this time and this privilege, as Brother Caleb was exhorting us to be able to gather. Lord, we're thankful for the freedom. Lord, but most of all, we're thankful, God, that we have a desire to hear your word and to hear from you. And we pray, God, that, Lord, you would help us in every way that we need help this morning. You see those that aren't feeling well. Lord, you see the sickness that's going around. We pray, God, that you would touch and you would heal. Lord, you would help in every way. And Lord, might you help us to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For the past three services, God's had this, given me this burden for our congregation. And I thought about it even again this morning. As we enter a new year, we definitely want to see more growth. If you don't, if you see a church that has no desire to grow, then you know something's wrong. You know something is missing in their vision. You know something is missing in their burden. And as we gather and as we worship together, we have a responsibility to show to the world and to show those around us that we really do care about the things of God, and that we do have a care and a concern for them and for their lives and for their soul. And so part of that testimony, or part of that that goes out to the world, is how we work with one another and how we treat one another, how we talk to one another, how we the interaction that we have with one another is a great testimony to the world. Amen. Now, you know, if you start a new, if you get a new job and you go into this business and you go in, you see this employee doesn't get along with the boss, and the boss doesn't get along with his boss, and this department supervisor doesn't get along with that department supervisor, you wonder, what is wrong with these people? Because they can't get along. Don't they understand and realize that the company needs to make product and make money for us to keep our jobs? And the same goes with us as people of God. If we have people come in and we have people that come around us, and they see and they say, they look at us and they see, oh, well, the preacher can't get along with the ushers, and the ushers can't get along with the piano player, and the piano player can't get along with the choir director, and so on and so forth. They say, well, what's wrong with those people? It's just another religious club then. It's not anything that is anything that I'm interested in. It's just another religious group. And God help us to be more than that.
Amen.
And God help us to understand that there's more to it than that.
Amen.
We want to grow. I know we do. I hear your testimonies. I hear your prayer requests. I hear how you have concerns for your coworkers and your friends and your family, and how you want people to be saved and come to church and to know Jesus as a personal Savior. But we have a responsibility, first of all, among ourselves, to make sure that we are what God wants us to be. The Bible says, show the house to the house, in one scripture. In other words, let the people of God first see and know and understand how they should be living and how they should be conducting themselves before they can even go out and try to help others who need help. So in Romans the 12th chapter, in verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
Amen.
And so we are being warned, we're being exhorted, not to get this idea about ourselves that we are someone great, or that we are better than other people, because we're not. He says, but to think soberly, or to think circumspectly, that we need to understand how our attitude and how our behavior and how we treat each other, the effects that it has on each other and the world around us. It says, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And this is important that we get the concept that Paul is talking to us about. Even though we may feel like that the person across the aisle may not be as smart as we are. Now, I'm just telling you how people think sometimes. As smart as we are, as gifted as we are, as intelligent as we are, or as good as we are, whatever. Those ideas and those ways of thinking are not thinking in a correct manner. We may make more money than the guy across the aisle, or God's blessings may be upon us that maybe we've got a better station in life than the guy across the aisle from us, but it does not change this fact that if God has saved him and God has saved us, amen, we are in the same body, yes, the body of Christ, amen, and that we ought to look upon one another as that we are members one of another. Amen. I know sometimes we look at different parts of our body. We say, well, you know, look at that finger. It's been broke 5 times. And, you know, the fingernail's all smashed and it's crooked now. And we look at that and we think, well, you know, it's just not that important anymore because it's all like this. Or some of us brothers, we get up in the morning and we'll shave and we'll think, man, I could do without this hair. And there are different parts of our bodies that we look at and think, you know what, that's just not so important. But God made us and every part of our bodies with a purpose and with a function. And if we begin to look at each other in that way that, well, they're just not so important, we don't need them here, it's okay. It's okay that they're missing, it's okay that they're not here, it's okay that they're not worshiping with us. We've got the wrong attitude.
Amen.
Because God has given us each one, and each one of us has a function, each one of us has a purpose, and each one of us is important to the body of Christ. God has called us to be part of His body. Amen. His body is not an exclusive religious club in which we have control over or to say who He can or can't accept. Now we need to stop and think a minute here. We have no control over God. We can't say who He does and doesn't accept. He is the one who makes that call. But what happens a lot of times is that we think we know how God is judging somebody. And we're not making an excuse for wrongdoing this morning. But what I'm wanting to get you to understand is that God works with everyone where they are at. And He leads them and He brings them along. And sometimes along the way, there are times, there are failures, there are incidents that happen in which that person that God is working with has to do some growing. Sometimes there has to be some repentance that has to happen. Sometimes there has to be some things made right or changed.
Amen.
But if we take the attitude that we know how God is doing or judging them, and we say, well, you know, I know that they're just not right, they can't be part of the body of Christ. What do we effectively do? We effectively have removed them from, we've actually put a wall in between us and them. God may not have put the wall there, but we have. And so that body member that we're looking at that is struggling at the moment, or is having a hard time at the moment, is effectively removed from our fellowship because of our attitude. We're not thinking in the right way.
Amen.
We are the body of Christ and members one of another. Now, does that mean that our personalities will always mesh perfectly? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that we will always agree on everything? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that we will always see things exactly the same? No. But what is the one factor that we must come back to. That is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has saved us from our sin.
Amen.
And we're living pleasing to Him.
Amen.
Amen. I know that's the short of it. We're living in obedience to God and everything that we know.
Amen.
That is the determining factor. We must understand that when we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, mm-hmm. that we begin to work something among ourselves that will not be attractive to those who are looking for Christ.
Amen.
It will only be attractive to those who think like we do. And that's not what we want. We want to lift up Jesus. We are many members in one body. And in one scripture it says, what if the eye said to the ear, you know, what if I don't know, I can't remember the parts of the body you use, but we don't need you. Or the toe says to the finger, there's no need of you. We'd be missing something, wouldn't we? Amen. You know, you hold the parts of your body dear, don't you? What if I said, let me cut your toe off? You'd say, no, get away from me. You ain't doing that to me. Why? Because it causes something. It causes pain. It causes hurt. There's something about it that you are attached to that part.
Amen.
And when we begin to look at each other in the wrong way, we'll say it is okay if you remove that part of the body. We know we have the wrong attitude. We are not thinking in the correct way. We're not thinking in a sober or circumspect manner. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The church is God's. The church is Jesus' body, body of Christ. He gave Himself for it. The Bible tells us that He died for all.
That's right.
Do you know that the church is not one nationality?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says it's the blood of all nations.
Right.
The church is not a Hispanic church, a black church, a white church, an Asian church, or anything like that. It is every member of Christ's body.
Praise God.
All over the whole world.
Praise
Him. Amen. And so if Christ died for all, we must be accepting of anyone that He died for and who has accepted Him as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. That's right.
Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now how does the world think about people who are not like them? People who don't think like they do. People who don't agree with them on their opinion. How do they act and how do they react? We see it in the news, don't we? We see the riots. We see the people who are beat up, or the people who get mobbed, or we see that they go to court and sue each other because they can't get into their club, and you won't let them in your club, so they're going to take you to court and sue you and this and that. What happens is people have a thinking pattern when their heart is unregenerated that causes them to feel like they are better than others and to be exclusive with those who they feel are on the same plane as them. But here it says, don't walk in that vanity of your mind.
Amen.
Having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Amen.
Saints, God has called us to a heart change when we get saved.
Amen.
Amen. He washes us, cleanses us, changes us, and we are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so, with the heart being changed, as we heard in the little skit, there's something different about our thinking also. Amen. When the heart gets changed, there's something different about the thinking also.
Amen.
We realize what we were. We realize the life that God saved us from. We realize what we were caught up in, how low, how vile we were. And we realize that we were no better than anybody else. No matter if we were a millionaire, no matter if we held the job of the bank president, no matter if we were a congressman or whatever, we were no better than anybody else because of the condition that we were in. And we needed saved just like everybody else. And so once we realize that, our thinking changes. And when our thinking changes, then our actions change Amen. No longer do we treat people bad. No longer do we hold people off because they're different than us. No longer do we mistreat others because we feel like they are below our station. God helps us and changes our heart and gets us to realize that there's something different when we really get saved and we really are a Christian. Amen. Verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." Amen. Come on, when we treat people bad because maybe they're a different nationality, maybe because they come from a different city, maybe because they come from a different side of the track, maybe because we just don't understand what they don't like and do like. Come on.
All right. Amen.
We are not living and acting how Christ would have us to be.
Amen.
He says we've not so learned Christ
that
way. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus,
yes,
that ye put off concerning the former conversation or conduct the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust or desires.
Amen.
Come on. In sin, who was number one? It was you or me, wasn't it? Who were we looking out for all the time? Self. Who were we putting forth in the forefront all the time? Come on. It was self. And so when self is number one, the desires that you follow are self's desires.
Right.
Anything that benefits me, anything that gets me what I want, anything that gathers to me is what I'm after. But when you get saved, you're not number one anymore.
Amen.
You put God first.
Amen.
Amen. And when God's first, then the desires that God has are what you are pursuing and what you're going after. And what does God want? What does the Bible tell us that His will is? That all men come to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. And a knowledge of the truth. He didn't say only these people here, or only these people here, or only these ones over here. He says that all would come.
Amen.
Amen. All nations, every person, everyone. That's God's desire.
Yes.
Amen. And verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Your mind, your thinking is going to be changed. And so as your thinking is changed, your actions are changed, and how you work with people will change and is different than before you were saved.
Amen.
Whether that person claims to be saved or not saved, you are going to treat them and different and act different with them because you have been changed. And I want you to understand this because this is important. Come on, if you can't get along with anybody at work, you can't get along with anybody in your family, and you can't get along with anybody in church, something's wrong.
That's right.
Because you are not following after the things which make for peace.
Amen.
Amen. But you are not working with the desires of God. You're working with your own desires. Come on, you can't get along with the wife or the husband. You can't get along with the boss. You can't get along with the co-workers. You can't get along with the preacher, and you can't get along with the saints. Something's missing, something's wrong.
Amen.
You're following after your own desires and not the desires that God would have for you. Verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another."
Amen.
Now, what I want you to understand the principle that he's trying to get here. Yes, we can say, yeah, lying's wrong. We know it's wrong. We shouldn't be lying. But you see the principle that he's putting forth here? If you go back up and talk about, or look back up there, how he's talking about how they need to work with one another and that they're not supposed to be seeking after their own desires anymore. He's showing that they should have a concern and a care for one another as members of the body of Christ. And I don't have time to go back into all those scriptures and to prove that, but I want you to see what he's trying to show us here. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." When you lie to someone, you are showing them great disrespect.
Amen.
Amen. Great disrespect.
So true.
Number one, you think that you're better than them and that you don't have to tell them the truth. Number two, you feel like that they can't, they're not smart enough or intelligent enough or good enough to handle the truth. Or you just don't want to be bothered with them. You think about every situation where people lie. It's because they have no respect for the person that they are telling the lie to. They don't care about the person that they are talking to. Amen. You can try to make up all excuses you want, but lying is a disrespect to your fellow human.
Amen.
Politicians do it all the time. Why? Because they really don't respect us as people, as the constituency. So they tell us lies just to keep, you know, just keep them happy for a little bit longer so I can get this lobbyist to give me my millions of dollars, or, you know, I've got this deal going on the side here. Why do they lie? To protect themselves and to keep you down where you don't really know the truth. And so you can't do anything about anything. We must understand this. Lying is disrespectful. It's disrespectful. And that's what Paul is trying to get to us here and show us, that if we really love one another, if we're really the body of Christ, we need to put away the things that are disrespectful to one another.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
For we are members one of another.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to be careful on how we work and treat one another. Work with and treat one another. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. And let him that labor working with his hands, which is that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's a whole way of thinking in these scriptures that we are supposed to take up with and to do away with the old man and the old way of thinking, in which we have no respect and no regard for one another.
Amen.
When we have disregard for one another, we really don't care about how we affect one another. And this is very important to us as a body of Christ on the whole and as a congregation. If we want to see growth, if we want people to come in, if we want people to look upon us and say, you know, that's a place I would like to go to church, we are going to have respect and regard one for another.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to have to say, you know what, how does this way that I'm talking, how does this way that I'm treating people, how does this action that I'm doing, how does it affect the body?
Right.
Amen. How does it affect the local congregation? What kind of effect does it have when I look at Brother Don and say, you know what, you're just ugly? What kind of effect does that have? What kind of effect does it have on those that hear it? What kind of effect does it have on him? And I'm just picking on him. It has a negative effect, doesn't it? But if I really have a care and a concern about what is going on and how it's affecting us, I will have a regard as to how and what I say. Amen. Go down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Amen.
He wasn't talking to the world here. He was talking to the Ephesian congregation.
Amen.
And he said, take these things and put them away from you. Now, it doesn't mean you won't ever be tempted. It doesn't mean that from time to time they won't try to get a foothold. It doesn't mean that there won't be times of high emotion, or there won't be times of when people feel strongly about things. But he said these things that would work, take them and put them away from you.
Amen.
And be ye kind one to another.
Amen.
Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are, as we talked about Wednesday night, we are humans. We have emotions. There are times to time, though, those emotions will become active. I don't know how else to say. They get worked up. Come on. If I come up to you and I start calling you names and yelling and screaming at you, get in your face, do you think you're just going to stand there and go, No, something in you is going to say, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here?
That's right.
Amen. But we have to learn how, in those times that our emotions are active, how to take these things that the devil would like for us to use against one another and put them away, and instead use the tenderheartedness, the kindness, the forgiveness, the long-suffering, and show to our families, show to each other, show to the world, show to other congregations, amen, that we can work together even in those times.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
My wife and I don't always agree.
Sure.
Amen. I like my eggs scrambled with ham and butter and cheese, and she likes a fried egg. And so there's two skillets there for breakfast, one with scrambled eggs, one with fried eggs. Is that any reason to get emotional and say, well, you just don't know what you're doing? Now, I pick on her a little bit, tell her she don't know good food. But there is to be a tenderness, a kind-heartedness, a forgiveness, amen, a working with one another. In the big scheme of things, does that really matter? It makes no difference whatsoever, does it? It makes no difference at all. But sometimes when we get so caught up in the moment, all we can think about is how we've been disrespected, or how somebody talked to us, or how we've got this going on and we've got that going on. And we've got to learn to let the little things go and look at the big picture and see the effect, the long-term effect of what happens, how we handle things.
Amen.
I was thinking about this morning and thinking about how I've been able to talk to some people my age or younger, how they don't go to church. And you ask them why or whatever, and they will tell you, and it's not because of them. They always point and say, because I saw this, and this effect that it had on me, and I saw that, and I saw this, and the effect that had on me. And even though we are all responsible before God for our own soul,
sure,
we have to be careful that we don't put stumbling blocks in the way of other people with how we mistreat others or how we act to people.
Right.
We have to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. Amen.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest thing. People feel like when they are tenderhearted, forgiving, that they have to give up ground and they are compromising. But do you know what's the scripture that Paul told us? He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay.
Right.
Amen. We just got to learn to give things to God. Let God have them. Let God handle them. Let God take care of them.
Right.
Amen. Here's what I've found out in my experience. Most of the time, if someone wants to mistreat you and someone wants to be nasty to you and hateful to you, most of the time, it won't be too long before they just go on their way and leave you alone.
Amen.
But the more you stir it, and the more you fight back and do all that, it just prolongs the situation. It just makes it worse, and it just magnifies it, and it just brings it up and brings it up and brings it up.
Sure.
But when you just say, you know what, it's God bless you, God be with you, most of the time they just go on their way. Amen. Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. Here, Paul tells us that we're of the same body.
Amen.
We're to treat each other as such and not have the same mindset as the people who are of a worldly and fleshly mind. Amen. The view that we have of each other determines how we treat each other. Amen. If I get this idea in my mind that my wife is just dumb and that she's a little addlepated and she's just not there, how am I going to treat her?
Condescendingly,
right? I'm just going to, don't worry about her, you know. Why? Why would I treat her that way? Because of my idea or my mindset about her. And this is why the devil tries to get our mind set about each other in a wrong manner. We may have some come among us who are simple. That's just part of human life. But how we treat them and how we work with them is what is right or wrong. Amen. Our mindset about the body of Christ is important. When we realize that each member is important, I believe God allows us to have some among us from time to time who maybe don't catch on so fast, or maybe who have some learning disabilities, to help us to be patient and to be kind and to know how to treat others who are not like us. Amen. I believe He allows that to happen. And I believe that we must learn how to work with other people who maybe don't learn like we do, or don't see like we do, or don't catch on to things like we do. Amen. But when we get the wrong idea, oh, they're just not very smart. Oh, they're just holding us back. Oh, what's wrong with them? We get the wrong idea about the body of Christ. Amen. What's the long-term goal of the body of Christ? To make heaven, right? And to take everybody with us that we can. But when we lose that, and our mindset becomes that we are just an exclusive club, that we only want certain kind of people in our church, then we've lost the right vision. And we'll treat people as such. Amen. God help us. Philippians 2 and 3. You pray for me. We're getting closer. And I'm trying to hurry. Philippians 2 and 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Amen.
Amen. Or lifting up of yourself.
Amen.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen. This is hard for us to do sometimes as humans, but God will help us. Do you know there are times that, and I'll tell you at work, there are times when I think that I'm right because I'm the quality manager. And I think that I understand something better than the person does until I actually give them the time to talk to me and to show me what the issue is that they're working with. And because maybe sometimes they have a hard time getting it out or explaining it, I've got to show some more patience.
That's right.
And there are times that I have been wrong, and the person on the floor is exactly right, showing me what the issue is. But what if I just had this attitude? You know, you're just wrong. I'm right. I'm the one in charge here. The problem never got solved, did it? The problem never got taken care of. And just because they weren't in the position that I'm in, or just because maybe that they didn't have all the knowledge on another subject that I had, doesn't make them wrong.
Amen.
And saints, we can get that idea sometimes that just because, you know, they haven't been around as long as I have, and they're not in touch and know everybody that I know, and they aren't in the right clique over here, or they don't have all this knowledge that I have, they just can't be right. If we get that idea, then we're going to be wrong. We'll be doing things through vainglory and strife. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you that was in whom? Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, it's hard for me to get that mindset that, hey, Jesus was in the form of God and was equal with God. But yet he came, says, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he didn't lift himself up and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What was the death of the cross for? It was for every man.
Amen.
Every low, vile person, every thief, every adulterer, every homosexual, every drug abuser, every you name it. That death on the cross that he humbled himself to was for all of those.
Amen.
Amen. From every nation, every Asian, Palestinian, Jew, every Egyptian, every Native American, every Anglo that lived back in that time, every Roman. He died for all of them. Even from the worst one that was in the prison to the king that was on the throne. His death was for everyone. He was equal with God. But the mindset that he had was there was a long-term purpose, a long-term goal. There was something greater than his being recognized as being God's equal. His goal was for the salvation of men. If we view each other as God would have us to, we will be able to present a united body to the world and show them that Jesus can change our hearts and we can work together.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if the successful businessman who's making millions a year gets saved, and the man who's just struggling from week to week to even find money to buy groceries gets saved, they can worship together.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because God makes it possible. God makes that possible. Because he changes the heart and changes the mind. But when we don't allow God to move on our hearts and minds and work and to bring them in the place that he would have them to, we will have a rich church. We'll have a poor church. We'll have a black church. We'll have a white church. We'll have a Hispanic church. We'll have a north side church. We'll have a south side church for people of those different cultures. But when God does the changing,
yes, yes.
And when we allow God to do the working,
amen.
It says all nations shall flow into her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 10 and 42 says, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto him them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So he's saying, hey, you know, you've got kings, you've got rulers, or you have bosses and they have bosses. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister or your servant. You see the whole, how Jesus flipped the whole thing around, turned it up on its head. Amen. We have those who feel like, and I'll just tell you, I've been around for 40-some years around the church, and I've seen those who feel like that they are the great ones, and that everybody should recognize them, and everybody should show them great respect and show them great reverence, but yet they don't to others. We must learn that each one of us are brothers. Each one of us are brothers. I should have the same respect, courtesy for you that you have for me.
Amen.
Amen. I shouldn't treat you like dirt, just like you should not treat me like dirt. I shouldn't mistreat you just like you shouldn't mistreat me. There's no big I's and little U's, as God, as the saying goes, in God's church.
Amen.
But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to. See, God didn't send Jesus down here for us to just minister to him, but to minister. In other words, he came to do something for us and to give his life a ransom for many. The question is, how do we view the body of Christ? How do we view our congregation? Amen. How do we view the people of God? How do we view our fellow congregational members? And saints, I will tell you, from time to time, some of us will struggle with things. That's the way of life. There will be times when some of us will be tempted and drawn with things that it's just you and God and the devil fighting. And there'll be times when we fight and be tempted and drawn together as a congregation. We've got to fight the battle. But in those times, do not turn on each other.
Amen.
Amen. Do not turn on our weak ones.
Amen.
Amen. All of us have moments of weakness.
Sure.
Those are the times when we need each other the most.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, I know there's a saying that says, the one man said, he says, the church is the only one I know who shoots their wounded. And it's so true. That is the time when we need each other the most, is when we are at our weakest. When we're right in the middle of that battle that we feel like we're just about ready to lose. That's when the rest of us should be praying for each other.
Amen.
But what do we see a lot of times among religious people and religious groups? They begin to talk and backbite. And find fault. And you see what they're doing? You see what's going on with them? God help us. Amen. That we learn to have mercy and compassion for one another. This will affect the growth of our congregation. Amen. It will affect the growth of our congregation. It will affect how we reach for those who need Jesus. It will affect any who come in and see the disaffectation among ourselves. Amen. We are members one of another.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there are people who our personalities clash. That's just the way of life. Amen. There are people who you would not pick to go and hang out with at parties because your personalities just don't mesh too well. I mean, because you like different things and you look at things differently. And then there's others that, man, you get along famously. You like the same stuff. You have the same ideas about stuff. And you even think alike on politics and you like the same kind of things. Those are the people that are easy to get along with.
Sure.
Amen. But not everything in life is easy, is it?
Amen.
Not everything in life is easy. But we are members of one another. Man, we are part of the body of Christ. We must treat each other as such. You know what saddens me the most, I think, is when I see outright sinners who know they're not part of God's body and who know that they need to be saved. And they come among us and they are treated with more respect and more courtesy than those who claim to be brothers and sisters.
That's good.
Amen. And saints, we should never disrespect anybody.
Amen.
But when we show favoritism and we show sinners even more respect and more courtesy than we do our brothers and sisters, there's something in here that needs to be changed.
Amen.
Something needs to work differently.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes familiarity among ourselves will cause us to be tempted not to treat each other correctly. But we need to have mercy,
amen,
kindness, long-suffering with one another. Amen. I believe, like I said before, this is the hardest message that Jesus ever preached for people to live up to. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Because, like I said, people, they could dress a certain way. Look at those Pharisees. They all had the same robes. They all made sure they had their right little things that hung down on their foreheads and their little prayer boxes and their jewels on their thing. They all dressed the same, made sure they were right. But man, they could not show respect. They could not love anybody because something inside had not been taken care of. Amen. Our last scripture in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother." Now we need to think about that a minute. Do you think that Cain had no regard or affection at all for his brother? I don't believe so. I believe that he did have some care for Cain, for Abel. I mean, it was his blood brother. But what happened is that his own pursuits, his own ideas, and his own, what is it? I can't think of the word I want. When his feelings got hurt, he wasn't accepted like Abel was. And that caused him to allow something to come up inside of him, and he slew Abel. He says, we're not supposed to love like that. Amen. We may have some kind of a certain affection or affinity for one another until things don't go our way, until our feelings get hurt, until we don't get what we want, and then we slay our brother. He says, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. And wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Because we love the brethren.
Amen.
That lets me know that it takes a changed heart to really live this in a way that God would have us to. Like I said, there's a lot of religious people. There's a lot of religious ideas. A lot of places you can go to church. But this is the crux of the matter right here. The heart change. Amen. Where you can love like God would have you to. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Amen. Now, like I said, it doesn't mean that there will never be a disagreement. It doesn't mean that from time to time that, you know what, you frustrate me or you aggravate me. There may be from time to time that you won't have some temptations to look at me and say, now look, and say, brother, you're out of line. Come on. Those things happen in life. But how we treat each other, how we work with one another,
amen,
is what God is looking at. Amen. Saints, we've got a world around us that needs God. Our neighbors need God. Come on, our city needs God. Think about what you read in the paper. Think about how all the stuff that's going down in Indianapolis and the effect that it has here. The drugs, the shootings, all those things that have an effect here in Muncie. You can't tell me people don't need God. We can't get so wrapped up in our religious ways and ideas that we forget about Jesus and forget about what the world really needs. Amen. Love one another. Amen. If I tomorrow God takes me and you only can remember one thing about what I taught you, remember this: love one another. Amen. All right, let us stand.